Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to be doing a deep dive into ancient Israel. We're looking at King Saul and David, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
We've got some excerpts from a lecture on the books of Samuel, and it's such a fascinating story, like all this drama and intrigue.
It is.
And all these sort of profound lessons about, well, leadership, faith, and human nature.
Absolutely. And what makes this story like so interesting, you know, even after all these thousands of years,
right,
is this this tension between what humans do and what God is trying to do, you know, the divine intervention.
Mm-hmm.
We see Saul, like he's the king, right? But he's dealing with all this jealousy and insecurity.
Right.
And then there's David, this young guy chosen by God to be the next king. And he's just like going through all these really tough situations.
Yeah, it really does make you wonder about those times when what we want to do kind of clashes with, you know, what we think God wants us to do.
Exactly.
Like, for example, in 1 Samuel 24, Saul's chasing after David, right?
Right.
He's convinced that David's trying to take over.
Yeah, that cave scene.
I know.
So pivotal.
It's so intense, like a movie or something.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saul just walks into this cave totally clueless.
Mm-hmm.
And David and his men are in there hiding.
Hiding, yeah.
They've got him trapped, like totally vulnerable.
Right. And David's men, I mean, they're like, this is it. Let's take him out. You know?
Yeah.
But David, he hesitates.
He
knows in his heart that killing Saul would be, I mean, it'd be going against God's will, you know?
Absolutely.
He even says, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord.
It's like such a powerful moment, right?
Yeah.
He's showing so much restraint. And I think it really says a lot about him, about his character.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like power hungry or vengeful.
Right.
He really gets the spiritual side of things, you know. He understands that even though Saul's trying to kill him, it's not his place to, like, you know, there's a higher power involved.
But he does cut off a piece of Saul's robe.
Right.
It's such a weird detail.
What do you make of that?
I don't know. What do you think?
Well, it's always, you know, made me think. On the one hand, it's like he's proving to his men, look, I could have killed him, but I didn't.
Oh, like a power move.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I wonder if it's also like symbolic, you know?
What do you mean?
Maybe it's like David separating himself from Saul, like creating his own path.
Hmm. That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah.
It really makes you think about, you know, those times in our own lives when we have to make tough choices.
All the time, right.
Yeah. Do we just react without thinking, or do we, like, step back and see the bigger picture?
Exactly. And that's a theme that just keeps coming up in this whole David and Saul story.
Mm-hmm.
It's about figuring out what's right, even when you're under pressure or tempted to do the wrong thing.
Right. And speaking of temptation, let's jump to 1 Samuel 25.
Okay.
This is where we meet, well, Nabal. He's rich, but kind of foolish.
Yeah, nope.
And then there's his wife, Abigail. She's described as intelligent and beautiful.
And wise, insightful.
Right, insightful. It's so interesting how they're like complete opposites.
Total opposites.
Nabal's so arrogant and disrespectful to David and his men. It makes David furious. He wants revenge.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's important to remember that David, even though he's chosen by God.
Yeah.
He's still human.
He is.
He gets angry. He makes mistakes, especially when he feels like he's been wronged.
Right.
We all do.
So what does this whole thing with Nabal tell us about David as a leader?
Well, I think it shows that he's still learning.
Yeah.
You know? He's trying to balance his human emotions with, you know, his calling from God.
That makes sense.
It's a struggle.
And that's where Abigail comes in, right?
Yes.
She's like the voice of reason, and she ends up preventing a real tragedy.
She does. It's like she embodies all that wisdom that David's still working on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Her stepping in is so important, not just for saving Nabal and his family, but for saving David from himself.
Yeah.
Really. She reminds him about his destiny, you know, and tells him not to mess it up by doing something rash.
There's this one line she says that I always think about. She says, please pay no attention to that wicked man, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I am your servant, did not see the young men of my lord whom you sent. It's like, she's so smart.
She is.
Not only is she calming David down, but she's also kind of hinting that God's already taken care of Nabal.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a really important lesson for all of us.
What do you mean?
Sometimes the best thing we can do is, like, step back and let God handle things.
Mm-hmm.
It's about trusting his timing, his justice, you know.
Trusting his plan.
Exactly.
It makes you think about, like, the Abigails in our own lives.
Oh, yeah.
Those people who give us good advice, you know, help us see things clearly when we're all messed up with anger or frustration.
Absolutely. We all need people like that. People who can challenge us and help us make good decisions, decisions that are good for us in the long run.
David definitely recognizes how wise Abigail is.
He does.
After Nabal dies, he marries her. He embraces the woman who, like, literally saved him from making a huge mistake.
And their relationship, I think it shows how important it is to have people around us who can speak the truth, even when it's hard to hear.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to go through tough times alone, you know?
So we've seen David show incredible restraint with Saul and then almost lose it with Nabal. It's like he's constantly being tested.
It is. He's facing these moral dilemmas all the time, and they force him to really confront his own strengths and weaknesses.
Right. It makes him so relatable.
Exactly.
He's not this perfect hero. He's a real person, you know, trying to figure things out, trying to live a good life.
And his journey is definitely not over.
Yeah. There are more challenges coming, more tests, more opportunities for him to grow and change.
As we go deeper into this whole David and Saul story, we'll see how these early experiences really shape him into the leader he's meant to be.
Okay. But before we get into that, what are your thoughts so far on these encounters between David and Saul? What's sticking with you?
You know, what really stands out to me is this constant back and forth between what people choose to do and what God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these stories are asking us, how do we handle those times when what we want clashes with what we think God wants?
Yeah. And how do we even recognize the Abigails in our lives, those people who can point us towards wisdom and truth?
Right.
Big questions that are still relevant today.
Totally. And we'll dig into those questions even more in the next part of our deep dive. So stay tuned. There's so much more to uncover in this epic story of David and King Saul.
We've been talking about how David just like waits for God's timing, you know?
Yeah.
But let's talk about Saul for a sec. What's happening with him while all this is going on?
Well, it's kind of interesting, right? It's like as David gets stronger in his faith and, you know, as a leader, Saul seems to be like going in the opposite direction.
Really?
It's almost like the closer David gets to being king, the more Saul just loses it.
Hmm. I guess that makes sense. Like all that fear and jealousy, it really eats away at you.
It does, even if you're a king.
And in 1 Samuel 26, we see Saul just going crazy with paranoia.
Yeah.
He takes like 3,000 men.
3,000?
I know. To hunt down David again.
He's obsessed.
It's like he can't think about anything else.
I know, right? He's got to get rid of David.
Yeah.
And it just like clouds his judgment.
Yeah, but there's also something kind of sad about Saul's story, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he was chosen by God, too. He was anointed as king.
He was.
And now he's letting all this insecurity destroy him.
It's like a classic example of how even when you have so much potential,
right,
you can still mess it up if you don't deal with your own problems.
Yeah. So in this chapter, Saul and his army are getting close to David's camp, right?
Right.
And while everyone's sleeping, David and his nephew, Abishai, they sneak into Saul's camp.
Wow, that's bold.
I know.
So risky.
It really shows you the difference between them, you know, as leaders.
Yeah. How so?
Well, David's like brave, resourceful. Yeah. He's willing to take chances, but he's smart about it.
Right.
And Saul, I mean, he's got the whole army, but he's not really thinking strategically.
Yeah.
And there's this part where Abishai whispers to David, like, God has delivered your enemy into your hands this day. Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. I won't strike him twice.
Like, come on, man, take him out.
Right. But David,
I doesn't do it.
Again, he shows such restraint. It's amazing.
He's sticking to God's plan.
Yeah.
I mean, after everything Saul's done to him, it'd be so easy to just...
I know.
You know. But David knows it's not his place to kill Saul.
Even when it seems like the perfect opportunity.
Right. It's like he learned from that whole thing with Nabal.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to let anger or revenge control him.
And I think there's something deeper going on here, too.
Like what?
Well, David still sees Saul as the Lord's anointed.
Mm-hmm.
To hurt Saul would be like going against God. Right, right. He actually says to Abishai, don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives, the Lord himself will strike him down. Either his day will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish.
David's putting his trust in God's timing.
Totally.
He's saying, it's not my job. God's got this.
So instead of killing Saul, David takes a spear and water jug.
What?
I know. And then he like shouts to Saul's army from a distance.
Okay, that's kind of genius,
yeah,
actually.
Right.
He's basically showing everyone how vulnerable Saul is, but without actually hurting him.
Yeah.
It's like he's shaming Saul a little, but he's also being merciful.
It's a real lesson in humility.
It is. David could have easily taken advantage of this situation.
Totally.
But he does something different, something that shows his character, his faith.
And how does Saul react to all this?
Well, he does what he always does, right? Oh. He feels bad, asks for forgiveness, even admits that David will be king.
It's like he has these moments where he sees the truth. But then the paranoia, the jealousy, it just takes over again.
And that cycle, unfortunately, leads to his downfall. Mm. As we get to the end of Saul's reign, we see what happens when you make those kinds of choices.
What do you mean?
Well, he goes to a medium for advice, even though he's banned that kind of stuff.
Right.
He loses his sons in battle, and in the end, he takes his own life.
It's a pretty dark ending for someone who started out with so much promise.
It is. But even in Saul's failures, there are lessons for us.
What kind of lessons?
Well, it shows you what can happen when you let ambition and fear control you, mm-hmm. and how important it is to be humble, to know yourself.
Yeah. And through all of this, David just keeps rising.
He does.
He shows all the qualities that Saul seems to be missing.
Like what?
Well, he's compassionate, he's strategic, mm-hmm. and most importantly, he's connected to God.
And as Saul's reign falls apart and David gets ready to be king,
yeah,
that's when you really see the difference between them.
Right. But that's a story for the next part of our deep dive. We've seen David, like, handle these crazy situations with Saul, mm-hmm. showing so much restraint and faith.
Mm-hmm.
But now, like, everything's getting even more intense.
It is.
Saul's just spiraling. You
totally
know?
Consumed by paranoia.
It's like he's not even the same guy anymore.
It's really sad to see, you know, like, at the beginning, he's this strong leader chosen by God.
Right.
And now he's just driven by fear, making all these bad decisions.
Yeah. And in 1 Samuel 28, we see how desperate he's gotten.
Oh, yeah.
He goes to a medium for advice.
A medium.
Yeah. Even though he, like, outlawed that kind of stuff.
Wow.
He's so scared of this battle with the Philistines that he's willing to do anything.
He's breaking his own rules.
It's like, what does that tell us about him, you know, where his head's at?
I think it shows how much he's lost his faith. Mm. He's turned away from God, looking for answers in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
It's like a classic example of how fear can make you do things you wouldn't normally do.
And the crazy thing is, the medium ends up summoning Samuel's spirit.
Samuel?
Yeah, the prophet who anoints Saul as king.
Whoa.
And Samuel basically tells Saul he's going to die.
Oh, man.
That the Israelites are going to lose the battle.
Imagine hearing that.
I know, right? Like, knowing your time is up.
It's like the worst possible news.
And then, while the next few chapters describe this awful battle.
Right.
Saul's sons, including Jonathan, David's best friend,
right.
they're all killed.
It's brutal.
And Saul, he's wounded and defeated.
Yeah.
He ends up falling on his own sword rather than be captured.
Wow. What a way to go.
It's a sad end to a reign that, I mean, it started with so much potential.
It did.
Saul's story, it's like a warning, you know, about what happens when you let jealousy and pride take over.
And disobedience, too.
Right.
Turning away from God.
But even in all this tragedy, David, he shines.
He does.
When he finds out about Saul and Jonathan, he doesn't celebrate. He mourns them.
You really love Jonathan.
He did. And he writes this beautiful lament expressing his grief.
This is so powerful.
It's like, even though they were rivals,
mm-hmm.
David still saw their shared humanity.
Yeah.
He had compassion.
That's a real leader. Right there.
It is. And then in Tithi Samuel, we see God's promise coming true.
Yeah.
David's anointed king of Judah.
Wow.
And after some more fighting, he unites all the tribes of Israel.
So it's a new era for Israel.
It is. One marked by victories, expansion.
Prosperity.
Yeah. David's reign is considered like a golden age.
And to think it all started with a shepherd.
I know. It's amazing.
A shepherd chosen by God for this incredible destiny.
It's a story about faith. Courage.
And God's grace.
Yeah, even in the darkest times.
So, looking back at everything we've talked about.
Yeah.
What are your biggest takeaways?
Well, for me, it's that our choices, they matter.
They do.
Not just for us, but for everyone around us. Wow. And the difference between David and Saul, it really makes you think about what makes a good leader.
Yeah. What do you think are those key qualities, the ones that help leaders face challenges with, like integrity and wisdom?
That's a great question.
David had humility. You know, he listened to God. He cared about justice and compassion.
Those are important no matter what time you live in.
Exactly.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into David and Saul.
It's been a journey.
It has. What about you? What lessons resonated with you the most? What did you learn from their successes, their failures, their moments of courage, and even their weaknesses?
So much to think about.
I know.
I think these stories remind us that leadership isn't about power or position, but about character, mm-hmm. about doing the right thing,
yeah.
about serving something bigger than yourself.
Absolutely.
And even when we mess up, God's grace is always there to help us get back on track.
That's a good reminder.
It is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah. Thanks, everyone.
We hope you learned something new about David and Saul.
And that their stories will, you know, stay with you.
Yeah. And if you have any thoughts, share them with us on social media. We'd love to hear from you.
Definitely.
Until next time, keep diving deep.